All right, so what book are we in?
Philippians.
Oh, you remember. Not Ephesians, no. On Sunday morning, but most of you are right, we're in Philippians. Awesome. All right, and what are a few things that Paul is teaching us as we read the letter that he wrote to the Philippian church? What kind of church was it?
Bunch of misfits.
Bunch of misfits, right? Probably not the people he'd hang out with. What was this church to Paul? How did he feel about them? His favorite church. He's like, I love you more than all the other ones, and I don't know if I'm supposed to do that, but I do. And why did he love them so much?
They understood what really mattered.
They understood what really mattered. Absolutely. And what really matters?
Jesus.
Have we learned that? Jesus, right? The gospel. They got it. What were they doing with the gospel right from the very time they got saved? You're kind of like whispering it. Say it out loud. Yeah, telling it. They're going around telling people the gospel. Why? They're like embarrassed about it, so... Yeah, they were joyful. They were excited. They were like, this is awesome news. And we talked about a testimony, right? This is what I used to be, but God came and Jesus did this in my life, and now I'm this way. I'm totally different now, and I got to go tell people this awesome stuff that happened in me. And so Paul's like, you guys are awesome. Most people would think you're a little weird, and you might be a little weird. But I love you because you get what really matters. You get the gospel, and you're sharing it with people. And so we talked about the mind of Christ. What did we learn about Jesus' mind, right? Because we said if you want to have the mind of Christ in you, this is what it looks like. What is the mind of Christ? We saw that in Philippians 2. Anybody here that night that remembers? What are a few things about Jesus' mind did we learn? Yeah.
Unity.
Absolutely. Unity within the Godhead. The Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son. They get along really, really well, right? Because they're one. But yet they're three, and then it's like perfect unity, and he wants all of us to experience that unity. And so if we have the mind of Christ, we're unified. What else? There are two other things. We learned three. Three things from that.
Humility,
right? How do we go ahead, just give me all three.
Selflessness.
Unity, humility, and selflessness. I love that some of you guys take notes. It's awesome. I watch you like it's good. Are those off your notes? Good job. All right. Unity, humility, and selflessness. That's the mind of Jesus. He was willing to become a servant for us when he was the king of all creation. And he was willing to go so far that he'd give up himself on the cross and die for us. We don't deserve it. We deserve death. And so we have that mind that's in Jesus. And so tonight, if you guys will open up Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, or click there, or do whatever you're doing. Verses 12 to 21 is what... Actually, we're not going to get all the way through this. We'll start in verse 12. We'll see how far we go. As you guys are clicking and moving and opening and doing what you do, I'll tell you, how many of you guys look at me and you think, like, track star, right? Like, he could go to the Olympics. That dude could run, right? I look like a specimen runner, don't I? What's wrong with it? What are you looking at me like that for? You're, like, looking in this area. Why are you not looking here? What's going on? I don't strike you as a track star. All right, here's the deal. In high school, not college. I definitely did not run in college. In high school, I decided I was not quite as shapely as I am now, right? So I was pretty thin, and I was a pretty good runner. And so I decided I was going to join the track team. So I joined, and they make me a sprinter. I'm going to sprint, and I'm like running my little heart out. And they bring in my first track meet. Man, I trained so hard. Every day I go to practice, I'd run, I'd sweat, I'd just give everything out there. We go to our first track meet, and I thought it was neat because at our first track meet, we got like our new sweats, you know, had like the school emblem on it, and we wore that. We're all cool, staying nice and warm, keeping the muscles in perfect like temperature so when I got there, I could run really well. I was like into it, dude. And we all got a new pair of cleats. We put those things on, man, and you got out there, and it was like click, click, and there was like pride. Every time you clicked, it was like, ooh, they're brand new, they smelled new, not like foot yet, you know. And so we have all this new gear, and we just feel legit. And I'm like, I'm going to sprint my little heart out today, I'm going to win. Well, this is what they do before the actual meet starts. They have you go out and like do like a little warm-up thing, and you got to like get yourself ready. And it's kind of like a practice run. And so when I get out there in my practice run to show up and do like, hey, I'm here, I'm going to run today, I look to my left and my right. And like, there are dudes lined up next to me whose legs are literally the size of my waist at this point. Like, and they're like 6 foot whatever. And I'm like 5 foot like two at the time. And I'm like, what? And I'm out here like thinking I'm all legit because I got my stuff, but he's got like the muscles. So I don't know if my stuff's going to be as good as that. And these guys were like enormous. So I'm like getting really nervous, and you know me when I get nervous. I already told you, I'm like, blah, blah. So I make my way to the bathroom. I'm like, all right, can we go? Yep. I beeline to the bathroom, like, blah, and throwing up in there. The dudes are coming in with their big legs clicking, click, click, click. And they're like looking at me like, oh, you know, like, and they leave real quick. And I'm like, blah. It's terrible. But I'm really nervous. And so I stay in the bathroom and I just kind of chill and trying to calm myself down. And over the loudspeaker, they announce, all those who are running the sprints, da, 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 whatever it was I was running, report to the line. And I'm thinking, I'm in the bathroom right now. Nobody knows I'm here, except for the guys who saw me puking. I could just like chill here and not go run and just not show up. So I did. I literally hid in the bathroom stall until I knew like the next race was going. And then I came out and I was like, oh, did I miss it? Oh, my bad. I totally missed the run. I wussed out. I quit the team. Like, that was it. I saw these huge guys. I was so intimidated that I just hid in a bathroom. It was really bad. I know you're all thinking like so less of me. I know. I didn't love Jesus as much back then. But it was pretty bad. Paul's going to talk to us a little bit tonight about running. And some of us are going to be really good at it. And some of us are going to be like, hey, I'm kind of Rob in high school, you know. And Paul's going to talk to us about running a race that's a lot more important than what I was doing in high school. So as we read this together, will you just kind of keep in mind the race that we have set before us? Verse 12 says, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I love this verse. I mean, I love this whole stinking book. I love the Bible. But listen, this verse is awesome. These couple verses, not because I'm any good at all at running, but I know how hard running is. I know how hard the race is. I'm the dude hiding in the bathroom, okay? So when I read verses like this, and I read what Paul is about to tell us about a very difficult race to run, this is some really good news for a guy like me. And I'm no longer talking about just being chunky boy who can't run very fast, all right? I'm talking about the race of life. The race of getting up every single day and making right choices. The race of loving the things we should love and hating the things that we should hate. That race is hard. And so when I read verses like this and I hear the encouragement of Paul saying, listen, I haven't already obtained this. I'm not coming to you guys saying, look at me, like I'm all perfect. I got all this down. And for a guy like Paul, who, man, we should look up to, because this dude was living the life for Jesus. Where was he writing this letter from? You guys remember? Prison. This is a guy who is suffering for Christ. He's doing way more than I've ever done. Just in this moment that this letter is being penned. And he's looking at me going, hey, listen, I haven't already got all this straight. This race is hard, and I'm not saying I'm perfect, and that's really good news for Rob, because I know I'm not perfect. And I know how hard this race actually is. He says, or have already been made perfect, but I press on. See those words there? I press on. You know that word? I looked it up, because I like words, and I'm like, press on. What does that actually mean? It means to stretch out like you're reaching for something. He's pressing on. He's stretching his body out. I imagine like me as a little chunky kid loving those cookies and reaching way up to get the cookie out of the jar. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really stretch to get that cookie because it's that good. That's what I picture in my mind. Like, Paul says, I press on. I literally contort my body in a way that is just like, I have to get this. Like, I have to reach for this goal in a big way. I press on, but not just for anything. Like, there's a lot of things we press on for. There's a lot of things you and I reach out for in this race. Why don't you stop for a second? Don't just listen to me. Be up here. Think in your head. Be along with me in Scripture as we do this. Think to yourself, what are some things I'm pressing on for? What are some things that I'm reaching and I'm straining and I'm stretching my little body out to get in this life? What are some things that I really, really want? Because there's plenty of options. There are a lot of things around us that glitter and shine and say, hey, you want me? Hey, you want me? And it's easy to be like, that looks good. Oh, wait, that looks better. And we're reaching and we're stretching and we're trying to get a whole lot of things. And so my question is, some of those things, have you got them yet? Get them in your clutch. How are they? Those of you guys who are like, yeah, I reached out for some stuff. Man, the taste wasn't that good when I got it. Like, it really let me down. It wasn't what I thought. It wasn't worth all that reaching. It wasn't worth all of that energy I put into that. It turned out to be junk in the end. There's a lot of stuff like that. Life all around you, and as you guys get older and older, you're going to find more and more stuff. It doesn't get better. It gets worse. You find more things to reach for. And Paul says, I'm pressing on for something. Look what he is trying to press on for. Because he's like, there's one thing that's actually worth that stretch. To take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Remember Philippians 2, if you guys rewind with me to back one chapter? Philippians 2:11. Remember why Jesus came? We looked at the mind of Christ, and at the end of seeing unity and humility and selflessness, we see that God says, Jesus, because you've done all this, because you've made the sacrifice and you died for me, because you've created this entire thing and hold this entire thing together, Jesus, you are going to sit at my right hand. And what was God going to do for Christ? He was going to give him a name that was above every name, remember? That at the name of Jesus, what would happen? Every knee would bow, every tongue confess. And why? To the glory of God. This whole deal is to bring God glory. Some of you are like, what? You mean it's not about, like, he didn't do all this just, like, for me? Like, I'm not at the center of this whole story? I thought I was, like, the centerpiece and everything revolved, and God was looking down and was like, I really need to be friends with Rob. I really want Rob to, like, look at me and be my friend. And no, the center of the story is the glory of God. For some of us, that rattles us. We're like, whoa, like, my whole world's changed now. Like, that feels weird. It should feel weird because, see, when we got broke by sin, all of a sudden the world became about us. So even when we think about, like, the Bible and things, we think the whole thing's about us. It's not. It's about Jesus. It's about the glory of God. And so as we look at what Paul's trying to press onto, he's not trying to be like, I want the biggest mansion in heaven. Yeah! Holy boat. Like, God's going to give me a yacht and I'm going to... It's not what he's looking for here. He didn't want to walk the halls of heaven and have his plaque hanging on every like hallway or cloud or whatever it is, you know. What does he want? The glory of God. The fact that he will be reunited, this gospel, remember, that he's been talking to and saying, hey, you get what really matters, Philippians. You guys get it. You're excited about it. It's changed your life. You understand the goal. And so as I talk to you about this goal, this prize, in their heads, they get it. They're understanding, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, Paul. The most important thing, the thing we're living for. And he says, I press on. I'm stretching out. I'm doing whatever it takes to take hold of that. But at first, like, as you listen to that, it sounds like Paul's doing a whole lot of this, right? He's stretching, he's reaching, he's taking hold. So Paul's like, oh, he's a Pharisee, right? And they believe in rules and laws. Like, he's an ex-Pharisee. Maybe he's just, like, trying to be so holy that he can, like, get this prize, right? When you work really hard, you get good stuff. That's what we see. You, like, study really hard in class, you get an A on your test. You practice a lot at surfing, you become, like, an awesome surfer like Jordan, right? Like, you work really hard in your truck, you get a big coal-rolling truck like Justin, right? You work, you get. That's not at all what he's saying. So don't stop there. He's reaching out, but it's for a reason. There's a reason why he's able to do this. He says, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I didn't do this thing. I was a dirty, rotten Pharisee who thought I could work my way to heaven, and I was persecuting Christians, killing them, messing up the church. Jesus shows up to me on the road and is like, what are you doing, idiot? He knocks me into my face. He blinds me, and he's like, you're persecuting me. Jesus is like, Paul, what are you doing? You're trying to be so perfect. You're trying to work so hard. This is where Paul goes, click, let me help you understand what I understood on that road. When Jesus knocked me on my face, that I can't do this. I'm reaching, I'm working, I'm trying, but it's not because I feel like I have to earn this thing. I'm doing it because Jesus has already done it. Jesus took hold of me and changed me so that now I can reach. So that now I am free to serve him and to love him and do whatever it takes to bring him glory. which is the goal. You saved my life. I was on my way to hell for eternity, and you changed that. You stopped me on that road. You knocked me on my face. You blinded me. You changed my heart and saved me, Jesus. You took hold of me. And so now what I want is for this life to glorify you. Y'all, if you're here tonight and you're like, I'm a believer, and you could be like these Philippians and say, I'm changed. I have a testimony. I was this, and Jesus came in, and now I'm this. I'm different. Let me tell you something. You're different for a reason. It wasn't anything that you did. It was because Jesus took hold of you. So the question now is, do you share that same heart as Paul that says, now that I am a believer, now that God has been that good to me, that I am changed and He's made me new, I really want to glorify you. I don't want to keep living this way. I don't want to be in the old life. God, you've done the work. Jesus, you took hold of me, so now help me to strain and reach and do these things because I just stink and love you because I'm grateful for what you've done in my heart. See, that's where Paul's coming from here. He's not bragging about how great he is. Remember, he already talked to us like, hey, I'm like the Hebrew of Hebrews and the this and the that and from the line of, he told us all his qualifications. He's like, if anybody had a reason to brag, it'd be me. He's like, I count that as poop, remember? That's dung. That's nothing. All my greatest accomplishments are nothing. He just got finished telling us that. And now he hits us with this. As good as I might be, you know what? It's all about Christ. I'm nothing except that Jesus came in, and because he's done that, I want to live for him. Is that where you're at tonight? Or maybe you're here and you're like, man, I'm not there. I'm that Christian who has kind of forgotten how sweet the gospel was in my life. How excited I was when he saved me. How much I wanted to live for him in the beginning like these Philippians. But now, man, it's been a couple years and I'm just like, yeah. I kind of forgotten that. Kind of doing my own thing. Maybe tonight a few of us need to be reminded of the power of Christ in us as he takes hold of us. We need to be reminded how it feels to stretch and reach, not because we have to, but because we are now free to reach after his glory for your life, the way you live it, the decisions you make to glorify God. Paul says, that's what I'm pressing on for. That's what I'm reaching out for. Look at verse 13. He says, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He's like, I'm not there. I'm going to tell you again. This is the second time now within two verses. I'm not there. I'm not perfect. I'm speaking to you as a broken man. You can come up to me and probably point out some sins you've seen me commit. If you expect me to be perfect, you are going to be let down. But I know the power of Christ, and I'm reaching. I'm not sitting back just happy with my sin. I love Jesus. I want my life to glorify him, but no, I'm not perfect. I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And those of us who do think that, like I'm saved, I'm good, like now I can just do what I want, right? Like Proverbs warns us that pride comes before destruction. That as we think, hey man, I'm there, I've got it, I'm good. That's exactly when our lives get destroyed. That's exactly when your testimony gets crushed. That's exactly the moment where you won't be able to look up to God and say, hey, I'm reaching. I'm trying to bring you glory. You say, look, I'm living all about me right now. That's not why he saved you. That's not what Jesus was sacrificed for. And so Paul says, I haven't quite got there. He's not that guy who's like prideful about it. He's that guy saying, as much as I've done, it's only because of Christ. Look what he says next. But one thing I do, it's like, I'm still trying this thing out. I'm still living this life because with every step, I want to be closer to Jesus. With every choice, I hope that choice makes me closer to God. With every like word I say to my friend, you know what? I hope that word somehow brings me or him closer to God. With every place I go, we have a hard time doing that because we're like, this is my life. These are the things I have to do and I like to do. And then this is church and my Christian life. And as long as there's time in this, I might do some of this. And Paul says, no, wait. Jesus gave you the life. Order all this around this. Order your soccer and your football and your camps and your school and your whatevers around Christ. And if there's time, do those things. If there's time, go do those things. Use them for Christ. But don't look up and go, you know what? I would go to church and I would be part of the fellowship and I would serve other people and I would study my Bible if I had time, but I have this chemistry test and I have this soccer game and I have... Jesus says, wait a minute. Did the soccer game save you? That chemistry test dying on a cross for you? I thought I was the one that did that. But that's more important to you than me. And you're going to order your entire life around those things. Instead of saying, Jesus, it's all about you. Show me the things I should do and I shouldn't do, how much time I should spend doing these things, but let you be the center. Sometimes we get that backwards, don't we? And he says this, look at this next part. Forgetting what is behind. Remember Paul's past? You guys remember what he was doing, right? Before he got saved, before Jesus showed up, he's like, hey, Paul, you're killing me, you're persecuting me. What was he doing? That's a real question. Killing Christians. Persecuting the church. That was Paul's job. He was leading people that do that. He was like in charge of the people doing that. He was like a bigwig with that. It was his profession. This is a bad dude, and he says this, forgetting what is behind. That's a big, big statement for Paul to make. That wasn't like, I'm a church boy, I grew up in church, I got saved when I was 3, I've always been really good, I've never lied. And so he's forgetting like, okay, what? That's not a lot to forget. This is a dude who's like, I murdered people. Good people. Like people that loved the guy that I'm worshiping now. I made some huge mistakes, and he's able to say, forgetting what is behind. Whew. There are some big things off your shoulders when the gospel can come in and forgive you for all of it. It's funny because some of us walk around with that still on our shoulders. And Jesus like forgave me, but yet I'm still going to carry that around with me, and I'm still going to... We just can't give it up. You know, I told you guys I used to scuba dive, and well, I still scuba dive, but when I learned how to go scuba, they took us down to the bottom of this pool. It was a really deep pool, and they make you learn how to like respond if you're going to die. You know, like, this is what you do so you don't die. So they put you through different things to make sure, like, first you like have to put water in your mask because some people freak out. You ever like swim in a pool and had like your mask full up of water and you're like nothing's happening to you. It's okay, you know, but like you think you're dying. And so they teach you like, you're all right. It's okay. Like clear your mask. And they teach you how to do that. And they're like different things. And they'll walk you through these different scenarios, emergency situations. And the big, big one is that you have to like, if you're about to die and you have no air, you need to like pull off your weight belt. You have to wear this, like all these weights in order to like go deep down in the water. Because your body naturally floats. Mine floats really well, so I need a lot of weight. So they put a lot of weights on you, because if you don't wear those weights, you can't go down. But if you run out of air, those weights hold you down, so you ain't getting to the top to get air. So they're like, pull that thing, this little like button thing here, and it will just all fall, and then you'll shoot to the top like crazy. But here's the problem. If you do that and you don't blow out the whole time that you're going up, your lungs explode. You know, it's not, you know, just a little thing like that. So you want to make sure on your way up, you blow out the whole time so that your lungs don't explode. So anyway, the point is, if you don't take the weights off, you die. You stay on the bottom. Those things hold you down. You definitely would not want to wear those weights if you were running a race, right? If I'm going to line up and these dudes there with the big old thighs, they're going to run next to me. I'm wearing my weight belt. Here I go. Right? Not going to be great. Well, that's dumb. Like, why would you wear those weights? They're going to slow you down unless you're training and just want to get really strong and huge thighs like them. Like, it's going to slow you down. And so Paul's looking at these things and he's saying, sin is like weights. They're literally hanging all over you. There's another passage of scripture that says, take those weights off and the things that entangle you and throw them down. And he's alluding to that here in this same passage. As you're trying to run a race, you don't put weights on. They're going to hold you back. But see, we're trying to live this Christian life and we're still wearing the weights. We're still doing those things. We're still in love with the world. We're still worried and guilty about the things of our past. We're not letting the gospel in Jesus really restore us because we won't take the weights off. We want to stay in love with those things but still kind of feel like I'm saved so I feel good. Instead of saying, Jesus, it's all yours. Leave the weights. Leave the world. Leave the sin. God, I'm yours. Take all of me. So Paul says, leaving those things behind, forgetting them, like erasing them from your memory. Any of you guys have dogs? Any dogs? How many of you guys walk your dogs like down the sidewalk? Any of you, some of you just let them out the back door and you're lazy. All right, I walk my dog sometimes. And does he like, do your dogs like to sniff everywhere any other dog has ever been when you're walking them? Hunter is crazy about that. When I walk, he loves to sniff everything and nothing gets by his nose. So I'll be walking, we'll be making like a cruising speed, you know, we're like comfortable. All of a sudden, if I'm not looking down, bam, I'm tripping over, I'm falling on my face. I'm like, what are you doing, dude? It's like bumper cars. He just stops and he like backs up and he passed a good smell, you know. I gotta go, oh, that's a good one, you know. He goes back, he's sniffing the grossest stuff in the world. And I'm like, what are you doing? But he wants to go back all the time as we're trying to walk forward. Makes it really hard to move forward because he's always wanting to backtrack back to the junk, back to the dung. And Paul's literally saying that. Why are we going back to the poop? I know it sounds dumb, right? That's what Paul's saying. Why are you returning back? Jesus has saved you so that you can move forward and grow closer to God, but you keep walking back. You keep thinking and living in that old life. And you're going back to the stuff that doesn't matter when you should be living for the stuff that you now know really does matter. So leaving those things, forgetting what is behind, look what he says next. This is how you win a race. You want to be successful in the Christian life in a real way, in a way that matters? Straining toward what is ahead. And he uses the word, I press on, but this is actually a different word here. English is the same, but the actual word here, Paul does a little trick on us. He does a cool little thing. It actually means to persecute in a way that makes a person flee or run swiftly away. So when he says press on, he means I'm hightailing it out of there. And it has a connotation of if someone's going to come like beat you with a stick for being a Christian, you're going to run, right? You're probably going to like turn around and get out of there. That's what this is talking about. He says, I run. That's kind of weird because this is the guy, after he's talking about his past, goes and uses a word that refers to people persecuting. Because he was a persecutor. And he's saying, I'm hightailing it away, but I'm not, this time it's not for persecution because someone's coming after me. I'm not running from that. He said, I'm running towards something now. Isn't that cool? I'm running, sprinting as fast as you can possibly go. That's what this word's saying. Toward the goal. You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to sprint wildly after Jesus. With reckless abandon, get up and run as fast as we possibly can toward Christ. How do you win a race? How do you win the Christian race? You run to Jesus. There's a finish line. So if you're just like out there doing the whole Forrest Gump deal, oh, go somewhere, I'm running, hey, look at me, Jenny, you know, you ain't going nowhere. Like, you're just going to keep running. There's a finish line in a race. And he's saying, I'm going to sprint wildly after the finish line, the goal. Can I ask you something? What's your goal? As you go to school every day, as you return home and you're with your family, as you come to Firehouse, as you hang out with your friends, what's your goal? What's your finish line? What are you hoping to accomplish? Some of you are like, I have no idea. Never thought about it. Others can point out some stuff and you're like, wow. I don't know if it's what Paul's going to say it should be. I'm running after some really messed up stuff. Because what Paul's saying here is that the goal, this finish line, look what it says. For which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Is your goal Christ? Is your goal that one day you'll be able to bring glory to your God as you stand in heaven before Him and you're reunited forever and you could say, look how I live. It wasn't because I had to. Like, I know there was no... It was because I love you. It was because you called me and you changed me and made me different. And it was my greatest joy to live for you and know what really matters. Are you living your life in a way that glorifies God? Are you running this race with a finish line that you clearly see and you're intentional about saying, I want to bring glory to God with my decisions, with my relationships, with my words, with my thought life, with the things I watch and read and look at? I want my life to glorify God. Not because some pastor's going to yell at me if I don't, or my parents are going to get mad at me, but because He has saved me and Jesus died when He never had to. And I know what really matters. Are you sprinting wildly after Christ? I want to end with this because it's just a funny little video, and I don't want to end like too intense and people would be like... Anyway, I want to end with this. It's funny, okay? But before I do show this and we all laugh and the mood changes, I want you to, in your heart, think. Will you ask yourself some questions? What's my finish line? What's my goal? What am I living for? And if you can't say it's Jesus, will you please talk to me or a leader tonight before you leave? Last week, some people raised their hand. Keep doing it. Keep choosing Christ. Some of you guys have raised your hands in the last couple weeks. You want to get saved and you haven't come up yet to talk to me. I'm dying to talk to you. I want you to know that if you're here tonight, I want to talk to you. I saw your hand go up. Please don't leave here without accepting Christ as your Savior. And if you guys are like, hey, I need to make this decision and make my finish line Christ and start living for Him for real, don't just like make some prayer or some like decision tonight and not do it. Get some people around you that love you that can hold you accountable and say, look, I want to do this. Keep me accountable and we'll work together as the church and try to keep pushing each other towards Jesus. That's how the church works. So before you leave tonight, we'll watch this video. We'll do the last song of worship. Find a leader or me or somebody. And if you have like, hey, I want to accept Christ tonight, talk to us. Or if you have some sort of prayer request, come talk to us, all right? Let me pray for you. No, I'm not going to pray. I'll let Manny pray at the end because I'm going to show you this video. All right, you ready? This is what I think of. This is what I think of when I think of sprinting wildly to Jesus. Maybe not quite, but it's funny, so just watch it.